الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. أما بعد، يقول شيخ الإسلام تيمي رحمه الله تعالى في رسالته اتباع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، قال: وهذا باب واسع، وهو متفق عليه بين المسلمين، افترق الناس فيما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم 3 فرق. المقصود من حيث القبول والرد، من حيث القبول والرد. نعم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ما بعد، شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية, he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى in his treatise about following the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. This is a vast issue, and it is something agreed upon by the Muslims. So the people regarding what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with are divided into 3 groups. The Shaykh, he mentioned this is with regards to accepting the call and rejecting it.
قال فرقة امتنعوا من اتباعه كاليهود والنصارى والمشركين ونحوهم، فهؤلاء كفار تجب معاملتهم بما أمر الله سبحانه وتعالى به ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذا لا خلاف فيه أن من امتنع من اتباعه وأظهر أنه على غير ملته فإنه من الكفار، وهذه الفرقة الأولى.
He mentioned رحمه الله تعالى a group from these 3 groups, a group who refused to follow him, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, like the Jews and the Christians and the pagans and the likes of them. So these people are disbelievers, and it is incumbent to deal with them in the manner Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have ordered. So there's no doubt about this. Shaykh, he mentioned, hafidhullah, there's no difference of opinion about this. There's no difference of opinion about this, that whoever refuses to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he belies him or denies him, then he is a disbeliever.
قَالَ وَقِسْمٌ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ بَاطِنًا وَظَاهِرًا وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. وهؤلاء هم أتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حقا، وهؤلاء هم المسلمون المتبعون، وعلى رأسهم الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم. نعم.
And then he mentioned رحمه الله in the category who believe in Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم inwardly and outwardly, and they follow that which the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم had come with. The Shaykh, he mentioned حفظه الله, that these are the followers of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. These are the true followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are the Muslims, and at the head of them are the companions radiallahu anhum.
قَالَ وَقِسْمٌ أَظْهَرُ الْإِيمَانَ بِأَلْسِنَتِهِمْ وَلَمْ يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهَؤُلَاءِ الْمُنَافِقُونَ الَّذِينَ قَالَ اللَّهُ فِيهِمْ إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ والله يشهد إن المنافقين لكاذبون إلى آخر السورة. وقال تعالى: ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر وما هم بمؤمنين يخادعون الله والذين آمنوا وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم وما يشعرون في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا ولهم عذاب أليم بما كانوا يكذبون إلى تمام 13 آية. وهذا القسم قسم أهل النفاق، والمقصود بالنفاق هنا النفاق الاعتقادي، يظهرون الإسلام ويبطنون الكفر. ولخطر المنافقين، فالله سبحانه وتعالى في أول سورة البقرة ذكر 13 آية فيهم، في الكفار 2 آيات وفي المنافقين 13 آية، وهذا يدل على خطرهم، وأيضا يدل على أيضا خبثهم ووجوب الانتباه لهم.
Then Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, and a category who outwardly portray Islam with their tongues, yet faith did not enter their hearts. These are the hypocrites, those whom Allah said about them, when the hypocrites come to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, say, then say, we bear witness, and they say, we bear witness that you are indeed the messenger of Allah. Allah knows that you are indeed his messenger, and Allah bears witness that the hypocrites are liars indeed, until the end of the chapter. And likewise, he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, the meaning of which is, and of mankind, there are some hypocrites who say we believe in Allah in the last day, while in fact they do not believe. They think to deceive Allah and those who believe, while they only deceive themselves and perceive it not. And their hearts is a disease of doubt and hypocrisy, and Allah has increased their disease. A painful torment is theirs because they used to tell lies until the end of the 13 verses. The Shaykh, he mentioned, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, that this category here, this is the people of hypocrisy. This category here, they are the people of hypocrisy, Ahlu al-Nifaq. But he mentioned here to clarify that this is al-Nifaq al-Itiqadi, meaning that their hypocrisy is in the creed, meaning that they display outward Islam, but in their hearts they do not believe. And they outwardly display Islam, but in their heart they conceal disbelief. So because of the great danger of the likes of these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned a number of verses about them in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, or the 13 verses, all in the description of these hypocrites, who their hypocrisy is in the foundation of the religion. Allah, he mentioned in the beginning of Baqarah, verses about the righteous, and then two verses about the disbelievers, and then 13 verses about the hypocrites and clarifying their attributes. And all of this is an indication of the dangers of them and their filth and their evil. Likewise, in that the people must pay attention to these traits.
قال رحمه الله تعالى وأنزل الله في صفاتهم سورة براءة وتسمى أيضا الفاضحة. نعم. وهي في صفات المنافقين النفاق الاعتقادي.
And he mentioned in Allah, he revealed the chapter Bara'a regarding their traits. And the Shaykh, he mentioned that likewise, this chapter here, Bara'a, is also known as Al-Fadiha, the one that exposes, and exposing the traits of the hypocrites.
وَلِذَلِكَ قَالَ بَعْضُ الصَّحَابَةِ قَالُوا ظَنَنَّا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَيُسَمِّيهِمْ يعني المنافقين لأنه جاء ومنهم ومنهم ومنهم. نعم.
Until the extent that their traits were exposed so much in this chapter, until the extent that some of the companions, they thought that Allah was going to name them by names, because Allah is mentioning and from them and from them and from them, and in their traits after traits, they were expecting now that maybe they're going to be mentioned by name.
وهذا يدل على أن ذو الخويصرة عنده نفاق اعتقادي لأن الآية التي نزلت فيه ومنهم من يلمزك في الصدقات.
And this also indicates that Dhul-Khuwaisirah, he's also from them, and that he was intended from these verses. And
ولذلك, نعم.
From the descriptions that is mentioned in the book, in this chapter, is that from them are those who mock you or find fault with you, criticize you because of the division of the charity.
وما ذكره أحد في الصحابة.
And no one from the scholars ever considered him or mentioned him amongst the companions.
ثم قال رحمه الله تعالى قال وذكرهم في غير موضع من القرآن وأمر رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم بجهادهم كما أمره بجهاد الكفار وقال تعالى يا أيها النبي جاهد الكفار والمنافقين واغلظ عليهم ومأواهم جهنم وبئس المصير. معلوم أن كل الآيات التي جاءت في جهاد الكفار بمكة المقصود بذلك مجاهدتهم باللسان مجاهدتهم بالحجة والبيان وما فرض الجهاد إلا في المدينة. نعم.
And then likewise, Shaykh al-Islam, he says, rahimahullah, and Allah mentioned them in more than one place in the Quran, the hypocrites, and he ordered his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to fight them just as he ordered him to fight the disbelievers. And he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, the meaning of which is, O Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, strive hard against the disbelievers and the hypocrites, and be severe against them. Their abode will be hell. Their abode will be hell, and worse indeed is that destination. The Shaykh, he mentioned, hafidhahullah, that every verse with regards to al-jihad, fighting the kuffar, which was revealed in Mecca, then what is intended from that is fighting and making jihad against the disbelievers with the tongue and with clarification and evidence. As for the jihad with the sword against the disbelievers, fighting against them, this was not legislated until al-Madinah.
لأن الجهاد لا يشرع إلا عند قوة المسلمين.
This is because al-jihad, striving and fighting the enemies of Allah Azza wa Jalla with the weapon, is not legislated except for whenever the Muslims have strength.
قال وأما الكفار فيجاهدون حتى يؤمنوا أو يؤدوا الجزية إن كانوا من أهلها، كما قال تعالى قاتلوا الذين لا يؤمنون بالله ولا باليوم الآخر ولا يحرمون ما حرم الله ورسوله ولا يدينون دين الحق من الذين أوتوا الكتاب حتى يعطوا الجزية عن يد وهم صاغرون. ومعلوم أن الجهاد جهادان، جهاد للمنافقين بالحجة والبيان، وجهاد للكفار بالسيف والسنان، وكلا الجهادين ذكر في القرآن الكريم.
And then he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, as for the disbelievers, then they are to be fought until they believe or pay the jizya, the tax, if they are from those qualified. Just as the Most High, he said, the meaning of which is, fight against those who do not believe in Allah, nor in the last day, nor forbid that which has been forbidden by Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who do not acknowledge the religion of truth among the people of the scripture until they pay the jizya with willing submission and they feel subdued. So the Shaykh, he mentioned, hafidhahullahu ta'ala, that it's known that al-jihad is two types. Jihad against the hypocrites and jihad against the disbelievers. And the jihad against the hypocrites is with knowledge and clarification. With knowledge and clarification and refutation. And the jihad against the disbelievers is with swords and with the weapons.
وجهاد المنافقين أعظم لأن فيه بيان للحق و وهذا لا يكون إلا من أهل العلم.
And the jihad against the hypocrites, this is greater. Striving with knowledge and clarification, this is greater, because those who are able to do this are only, because it is only the people of knowledge who are able to do this.
قال وأما المنافقون فجاهدهم بإقامة الحدود عليهم، هكذا ذكره السلف، لأنهم يظهرون الإسلام بألسنتهم، فإذا خرجوا من موجب الدين أقيم الحد عليهم، وهم قسمان: قوم نافقوا في أصل الدين، وهذا النفاق الاعتقادي، وأظهروا الإيمان بالله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وليس ذلك في قلوبهم، وأظهروا الإيمان بالله ورسوله وليس ذلك في قلوبهم عن الإيمان، بل هم غافلون عما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ومعرضون عنه إلى الاشتغال بدين غيره. انتبهوا لمسألة، هذا هو الإعراض الذي ذكره شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في نواقض الإسلام، وهذا أمر خطير ومهم جدا، لأن التكفيريون يلعبون بهذا الأصل، فيقولون الإعراض هو الإعراض عن الأحكام الشرعية، ومعلوم أن الإعراض هو عن الدين، ولذلك أنقل لكم، تفضل ترجم، أنقل لكم كلام للعلامة ابن سحمان رحمه الله تعالى مهم جدا في هذا الباب، وأنه ليس الإعراض عدم الفعل للدين وعدم، وإنما الإعراض هو الكفر به وعدم الإيمان به. بعضهم ينزل حتى الإعراض أنك ما تطلب العلم، أنك ما تأتي عند العلماء وتسألهم، أن هذا من الإعراض. هذا إعراض، ولكن ليس هو الإعراض الناقض للإسلام. أما هذا فأعرض الله عنه، هذا ليس هو الناقض. الناقض من الإعراض هو عدم قبول الدين والكفر به والإعراض عنه، هذا هو الناقض من نواقض الإسلام. نعم.
So he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, and as for the hypocrites, then fighting them is by establishing the prescribed legal punishments against them. Then fighting them is by establishing the prescribed legal punishments against them. This is what the Salaf mentioned. Because they outwardly display Islam with their tongues, therefore, if they go away from the requirements of the deen, the legal punishment will be imposed upon them. And there are two categories. people whose hypocrisy is in the foundation of the deen, the Sheikh he mentioned in the i'tiqadi and the creed, outwardly portraying belief in Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, while that is not in their hearts, meaning iman, he mentioned that, meaning that faith is not in their hearts, rather they are heedless of what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with, turning away from it, carelessly preoccupied with a religion besides his, and preoccupied with the worldly life from truly believing in the heart. So the Shaykh, he mentioned here a point to pay attention to, and that is that this is the i'rad, I mean the turning away from the religion that Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in his work, the nullifiers of al-Islam. Turning away from the religion is an aspect of the nullifiers of al-Islam. But this is what is intended here. And we have to pay attention because the people of takfir and the likes, they play games with the likes of these terms or the likes of these issues, and they misunderstand them and they bring about doubts and shubha. So they claim that turning away from the deen, meaning turning away from the legislation, the legislated rulings or the actions, and not applying them all, not applying them all. That's not what is intended. What is intended means turning away from the deen in entirety, turning away from the deen until a person, he has no concern for it or care for it, he doesn't follow it at all. He's not even a Muslim. He's not even a Muslim. So this is the one that's considered al-i'rad, turning away from the religion that is an invalidator or nullifier about Islam. And some of them, they claim or they like to say that if he doesn't seek knowledge, this is turning away from the religion. So therefore, since he didn't seek knowledge, then he's a disbeliever. Again, this is from those misconceptions or doubts of the people of takfir of our day. They claim the likes of this. And the Shaykh, he mentioned, hafidhullah, no doubt that turning away from seeking knowledge or not having care for that, this is a type of i'rad or a type of turning away, but it's not the one that takes a person out of the religion. The one that takes a person out of the religion is whenever a person turns away entirely until he's preoccupied with another religion or another way of life.
يقول الشيخ عبد اللطيف آل الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى قال يعني في معرض كلامه عن الإعراض قال إذا عدم الأصل الذي يدخل به في الإسلام وأعرض عن هذا بالكلية فهو كفر إعراض قال إذا عدم الأصل الذي يدخل به في الإسلام وأعرض عن هذا بالكلية فهو كفر إعراض قال ابن سحمان رحمه الله معلقا على كلام الشيخ عبد اللطيف بن عبد الرحمن بن حسن قال فتبين انظر يا أخوة كلام العلماء في يعني التعليق على كلام العلماء الآخرين في كفر الإعراض قال ابن سحمان فتبين من كلام الشيخ عبد اللطيف أن الإنسان لا يكفر إلا بالإعراض عن تعلم الأصل الذي يدخل به الإنسان في الإسلام لا بترك الواجبات والمستحبات لا بترك الواجبات والمستحبات قال ابن سحمان رحمه الله فتبين من كلام الشيخ عبد اللطيف أن الإنسان لا يكفر إلا بالإعراض عن تعلم الأصل الذي يدخل به الإنسان في الإسلام لا بترك الواجبات والمستحبات وذكر في الدرة السنية في المجلد العاشر في صفحة 472 وهذا مهم جدا أن يعرف ما هو كفر الإعراض ما هو كفر الإعراض هذا يسمونه كفر الإعراض وهذا هو الذي يذكره شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله في كتابه نواقض الإسلام منه الإعراض عن الدين الإعراض عن الدين نعم.
So here there's a great benefit from Sheikh Abdul Latif Ali Sheikh, rahimahullah ta'ala, and a commentary as well from Ibn Sahman, rahimahullah ta'ala. The Sheikh, he transmits this. First, a statement of a Sheikh Abdul Latif, Ali Sheikh, rahimahullah. He says that if the fundamental principle that one enters into al-Islam is void or is invalidated, then this person, he has turned away from al-Islam in entirety. Then this person is considered committing the kufr of i'rad, which is to turn away and to have no care or concern. So he's saying here that the type of turning away from the religion that's considered a nullifier about Islam, this is turning away until the extent that the foundation of Islam is gone. is gone. So now there's a commentary here on this statement from Sheikh Ibn Sahman, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and the Sheikh is indicating here that it's very beneficial. He says, so it's clear now. And the Sheikh, he says, pay attention to the statement of the people of knowledge, how they comment one to the other, clarifying the intent of the meanings of the likes of these benefits. So it's clear now from the statement of the Sheikh, Sheikh Abdul Latif, Ali Sheikh, rahimahumullah, that a person does not disbelieve. A person, he will not disbelieve except any from turning away, except from turning away from learning the fundamental of the religion which will bring him into the fold of Islam. Except turning away from the fundamental aspect of the religion which will bring him into the fold of Islam. So if he turned away, and so it's not considered, what is not considered turning away from the religion, that's a nullified of Islam, if he turned away or if he left off some obligations or some recommendations. This is not considered a nullifier of Al-Islam. So this is the type of i'rad that is considered a nullifier of Al-Islam that Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he's referring to in the book Nawaqid Al-Islam. It's important to pay attention to these affairs, again, because many of the deviant of our days, they use the likes of these statements of the scholars of the Sunnah to mislead the youth.
قال قوم نافقوا في أصل الاعتقاد وأظهروا الإيمان بالله ورسوله وليس ذلك في قلوبهم بل هم غافلون عما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ومعرضون عنه إلى الاشتغال بدين غيره والاشتغال بالدنيا عن نفس إيمان القلوب. قال وأضمروا تكذيب الرسول أو بغضه أو معاداته أو معاداة ما جاء به. فمتى لم يكن الإيمان بالله ورسوله في قلوبهم كانوا منافقين في أصل الدين سواء كانوا معتقدين لضد ما جاء به الرسول أو خالين عن تصديقه وتكذيبه. يعني سواء أنهم كانوا عندهم عقائد أخرى ضد ما جاء به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو أنهم ما عندهم أي عقيدة فإن هذا كفر. يعني سواء اعتقدوا أمرا مخالف أو لم يعتقدوا شيئا فإن هذا كله من التكذيب والكفر. كما أن كل من لم يظهر الإسلام فهو ظاهر الكفر. يعني لم ينتمي للإسلام, هذا المقصود. لم يظهر الإسلام فهو ظاهر الكفر, يعني لم ينتمي للإسلام ولا ينتسب للإسلام, هو نفسه لا ينتسب للإسلام, فإن هذا ظاهر الكفر. نعم.
So again, the statement of Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah ta'ala, there are two categories of people. Those hypocrisy is in the foundation of the deen, outwardly portraying belief in Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All that is not in their hearts. Whether they are heedless of what the Messenger came with, turning away from it carelessly, preoccupied with a religion besides his, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, preoccupied with the worldly life from truly believing in the heart, while at the same time they had concealed in their breasts, concealed in their breasts disbelief and belying and detestfulness and enmity towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and that which he had come with. Then he mentions, rahimahullah, so if belief in Allah and His Messenger is not in the hearts, then their hypocrisy is in the foundation of the deen, regardless of whether they believe contrary to what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with, or if they did not believe in him nor belie him. Just as anyone who does not openly ascribe to Islam, then this is apparent disbelief, regardless of whether he said something contrary or he did not speak at all. So the Shaykh is clarifying that what is intended here, the person, he would disbelieve either if he belied or denied the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or if he had creeds that are a contradiction to the creed of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is disbelief. Or even if he didn't have any creed whatsoever, he didn't have any opposition whatsoever, but he did not ascribe to Islam, but he did not believe in Islam, he did not ascribe to it, all of this is considered disbelief. This person here, they're clearly disbelievers.
قال ولا ينجي, نعم, ولا ينجي العبادة من عذاب الله تعالى إلا إيمان يكون في قلوبهم حتى إذا سئل أحدهم في القبر فقيل له من ربك وما دينك ومن نبيك قال ربي الله والإسلام ديني ومحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيي فيفتح له باب إلى الجنة وينام نومة العروس الذي قد دخل بامرأته ولا يوقظه إلا أحب أهله إليه. وأما المنافق فيقول ها ها لا أدري، سمعت الناس يقولون شيئا فقلت مثلهم، فيضرب بمرزبة من حديد فيصيح صيحة يسمعها كل شيء إلا الإنسان، جاء في رواية أخرى إلا الثقلين، ولو سمعها الإنسان لصعق. قال الله تعالى إن المنافقين في الدرك الأسفل من النار ولن تجد لهم نصيرا، يعني المقصود بهذا كل النفاق الاعتقادي. نعم. قال إلا الذين تابوا وأصلحوا واعتصموا بالله وأخلصوا دينهم لله فأولئك مع المؤمنين وسوف يؤتي الله المؤمنين أجرا عظيما. نعم.
He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, nothing will save the slaves from the punishment of Allah the Most High except for true faith in their hearts until one of them is asked in their graves and it is said to him, who is your Lord and what is your deen and who is your prophet? He will say, my Lord is Allah and Islam is my deen and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is my prophet. Then a gateway to paradise will be opened and he will sleep like a newlywed after spending the night with his bride. No one will wake him except the most beloved of people to him. As for the hypocrite, then he will say, I do not know. I heard the people saying something, so I said similar. Then he will be struck with a hammer made of iron. He will scream and scream such that everything will hear him except for humans. The Shaykh mentioned that there's another in another word, except the thaqalain, any of the jinn and mankind. Had a person heard it, he would fall unconscious. And then he mentioned, rahimahullah, the statement of Allah the Most High, the meaning of which is, verily the hypocrites will be in the lowest depth, the lowest grade of the fire. No helper will they find for them, except those who repent from hypocrisy, do righteous good deeds, hold fast to Allah, and purify their religion for Allah, making it sincerity for His sake, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they will be with the believers, and Allah will grant the believers a great reward. The Shaykh, he mentioned that all of this here is in reference to nifaq, النفاق الاعتقادي, which is the hypocrisy in the creed and belief.
إذن النفاق الاعتقادي متعلق بالقلب.
So therefore the hypocrisy in creed and belief, this is related to the heart.
وهذا يدلنا على أهمية أعمال القلوب.
So this indicates for us the importance of the actions of the heart.
قال والقسم الثاني المنافقون في بعض أمور الدين, وهذا النفاق العملي. قال مثل الذي يكثر الكذب أو ينقض العهد أو خلاف الوعد أو يفجر في الخصومة. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, أربع من كنا فيه كان منافقا خالصا, ومن كانت فيه خصلة منهن كانت فيه خصلة من النفاق حتى يدعها, إذا حدث كذب وإذا وعد أخلف وإذا عاهد غدر وإذا خاصم فجر. أخرجاه في الصحيحين. وهذا كله فيه شبه بالمنافقين, النفاق الاعتقادي في شبه شديد بهم, لأنهم هم الذين يكذبون وهم الذين يفعلون هذه الأفعال, ولكن الشبه هنا في الأعمال, وهناك مفارقة في الاعتقاد, هناك مفارقة في الاعتقاد. فقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كان منافقا خالصا, أي كان مشابها خالصا, لكن ليس المقصود أن منافق خالص أي أنه كافر, وإنما يعني المطابقة المشابهة كاملة, المقصود في الظاهر وليس الباطن. نعم. لأن لماذا سميت هذه من أعمال المنافقين؟ لأن النفاق هو إظهار يعني إبطان شيء وإظهار خلافه, فهذا شابهوهم في هذا الأمر مع الفارق الذي هو في الإيمان.
So the Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned, rahimahullah, the second category is those who are hypocrites in some aspects of the deen, such as those who often lie or invalidate covenants or go back on their promises or behave in an imprudent, evil, insulting manner when quarreling. And he mentioned the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever has the following four characteristics will be a pure hypocrite. And whoever has one of these characteristics will have characteristics of hypocrisy unless and until he leaves it. Whenever he speaks, he lies. And if he promises, he goes back on his promise. And whenever he makes a covenant, he proves treacherous. And whenever he quarrels, he behaves in an imprudent, evil, and insulting manners, collected by the two authentic collections. So the Shaykh is mentioning here, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, that all of this here is in reference to the nifaq al-amali. This is hypocrisy in the actions. Hypocrisy in the actions, not in the creed. And this here is about resembling the pure hypocrites. The hypocrites who have hypocrisy in their creed. Here, these are from their traits, from their well-known traits, are these traits mentioned here, that they lie and that they are treacherous and that they're harsh or rude in the like sight, this imprudent, insulting manner whenever they argue or they break their covenants and they go back on their promises, so on and so forth. These are the traits of the real hypocrites. So the people who do these actions, they resemble the real hypocrites from this aspect. They have a resemblance with them from this aspect. So what is intended here in this narration and this topic now about nifaq al-amali, hypocrisy in action, is that they're resembling the pure hypocrites, not that they're truly pure hypocrites. Their hypocrisy is not in creed, rather their hypocrisy is in their deed, in their action. So they're resembling the true hypocrites in their actions, but there's a difference between them and their hearts. There's a difference between them and their hearts. The true hypocrites, they do not believe in their hearts. As for the hypocrites here that are weak in faith, they have faith in their heart. They have faith in their heart, but it's considered a type of hypocrisy because they are resembling them. And the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever has all four of these traits, then he's a pure hypocrite, doesn't mean he's a pure hypocrite, meaning that he's a true hypocrite and he has disbelief in his heart, but meaning that he has resembled them in a matching manner. That meaning he has taken on their traits exactly, and he has a complete resemblance to them outwardly. But as for in the heart, no doubt there's a difference. They still have faith. So this is because hypocrisy is to conceal one thing and to reveal something else. So here they're resembling the true hypocrites in this manner. Any that they claim faith, but their actions are contrary. But still there's a difference between the two.
والمقصود بهذا الحديث من كانت هذه الخصال غالبة عليه. ولذلك شيخ الإسلام يقول مثل الذي يكثر الكذب، ليس من يعني فعلها مرات، ولكن ليس من الذين يكثرون، فإنه لا يدخل في ذلك.
And the intent here from these traits is that the one who has them any the majority of the time, meaning that he has started acting with these traits commonly and he's known for them. And this is clear in the statement of Shaykh al-Islam whenever he says, such as those who often lie. As for somebody who fell into some of these lowly traits sometimes, then he's not included here. What is intended here is the one that these traits have become his manners.
وهذا مثل حديث يعني حديث إذا اختلى بمحارم الله انتهكها الذين يقدمون يوم القيامة ولهم حسنات يعني كثيرة كجبال تهامة ثم يعني تذهب هباء منثورا وجاء في وصفهم أنهم إذا خلوا بمحارم الله انتهكوها. يقول الشيخ الألباني رحمه الله هذه صفة لازمة، أي أنه دائما إذا خلى بمحارم الله ينتهك، وليس من يقع منه الزلة ويقع منه الخطأ، فإنه لا يدخل في هذا الحديث.
This is similar to another narration. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that there will be people on the day of judgment. They will come with deeds the size of Mount Tihama, and with lots of good deeds, but they will be wiped out and destroyed. They will have no benefit from them, because whenever they would be alone, they would perpetrate or violate the rights of Allah azza wa jalla, meaning that they would sin in private. So he's mentioning here the benefit is that Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that these are people that this is their trait. This is not a reference to somebody who, and sometimes he slips, sometimes he falls into sin, sometimes his soul gets over on him and he disobeys Allah. No, this is what is intended, that every time or all the time, whenever they're alone, they disobey. Whenever they're alone, they violate the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's become their trait. This is the one who will come on the day of resurrection, and he will have this ill fate.
قال وقد أوجب الله تعالى على أهل دينه جهادا من خرج عن شيء حتى يكون الدين كله لله، كما قال تعالى: وقاتلوهم حتى لا تكون فتنة ويكون الدين كله لله. قال: فمن خرج عن بعض الدين إن كان مقدورا عليه أمر بالكلام، فإن قبل وإلا ضرب وحبس حتى يؤدي الواجب ويترك المحرم، فإن امتنع عن الإقرار بما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أو شيء منه ضربت عنقه. وهذا لولي الأمر، لأن إقامة الحدود هي منوطة بولاة الأمر، إقامة الحدود. نعم.
And then he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, and Allah the Most High has required the people of his religion to fight those who resist something from the obligatory rights until the religion in entirety is for Allah. As the Most High, he said, and fight them until there is no more fitna, disbelief in polytheism, and worshipping others besides Allah. And the religion, the worship will all be for Allah alone. Shaykh al-Islam, he says, therefore, whoever resists complying with some aspects of the religion, if he is capable of doing it, he will be ordered with speech, meaning verbally. If he accepts, then this is good. And if not, then he will be beaten and confined until he performs the obligation or he leaves off that which is forbidden. If he refuses to affirm that which the messenger came with, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or anything from it, then his neck will be struck and he will be executed. The Shaykh, he mentioned, hafidhullah, that this is in the hands of the Muslim ruler, and establishing the legal punishments, establishing the Islamic legal punishments, this is in the hands of the Muslim rulers, not to the hands of the people.
ولذلك ما حرص النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يخبر أصحابه بأسماء المنافقين.
And for this reason, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was not diligent to inform all of his companions about the names of the hypocrites.
إنما أخبر حذيفة رضي الله عنه.
He only informed حذيفة رضي الله عنه.
وذلك لأن المعاملة مع المنافق على حسب الظاهر.
And that is because dealing with a hypocrite, this is according to what is apparent.
ويجاهدون بإقامة الحدود عليهم إن زاغوا وخرجوا، فإن ولي الأمر يقيم هذه الحدود عليهم.
They're fought against by establishing the legal punishments against them. So if they deviate or they go outside the legislation, then the Muslim ruler, he will handle that.
والقلوب توكل إلى الله عز وجل، علام الغيوب.
And that which is in the hearts is entrusted to Allah, the knower of the unseen and the hidden.
قال: وإن كان في طائفة ممتنعة قتلوا، كما قاتل أبو بكر رضي الله عنه وسائر الصحابة مانع الزكاة، مع أنهم كانوا مقرين بالإسلام باذلين للصلوات الخمس، حتى قال أبو بكر رضي الله عنه: والله لو منعوني عناقا كانوا يؤدونها إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لقاتلتهم عليه على منعها. وجاء في رواية عقالا، والمقصود بالعناق يعني الماعز، والعقال العقال الذي يعقل به الإبل، يعني عندما تعطي الزكاة تعطي الإبل وتعطي أيضا عقالها الذي تعقل به. فلو أعطوا الإبل ومنعوني العقال لقاتلتهم حتى يعطون هذا العقال مع الإبل، هذا المقصود. نعم. وهذا يدلنا على أن ولي الأمر قد يقاتل من منع، قد يقاتل من منع شيئا من الدين، وقد يعزر في ذلك، وأن هذه تعود إليه. ولذلك، لأن تارك الزكاة ليس هو كافر، تارك الزكاة ليس بكافر، وجاحد الزكاة هو الكافر. والذين قاتلهم أبو بكر رضي الله عنه منهم الجاحد ومنهم الممتنع، منهم الجاحد ومنهم الممتنع. فإذا يعني أمرهم بشيء وأراد أن ينتزعها فقاتلوا، فإنهم يقاتلهم. ولذلك يقاتل البغاة الذين يعني لا يؤدون حقه، وكذلك الخوارج يقاتلهم ولو لم يعني يعتقد بأنهم كفار، لأنهم يخرجون عليه. فهذا كله راجع إليه، ويكون به إحكام مادة يعني أو إحكام شريعة الإسلام عليهم والتضييق عليهم حتى يعملوا به. نعم.
Then he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, and if there were amongst the group that resisted, and if he were amongst the group that resisted, they would be fine, just as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the rest of the companions fought against those who refused to pay the zakat, along with the fact that they affirmed Islam and performed the five daily prayers, until the extent that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said, by Allah, if they withhold one camel, they used to give to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will fight them because of their resistance. And here the word anaq is here, and also has come al-iqal. Al-iqal, the anaq is a goat, and the iqal is the rope that they would use to tie the camels with. So what is intended is that they would refuse to give the animals the anaq is the small goat. So what is intended here is whether it's a camel or a goat that they would refuse to give the zakat and the like. So the Shaykh is mentioning here that these people, they will be fine. Those who forbid or withhold something from the rights of the religion, then they will be fine. Any from the Muslim ruler, he will fight against them until they establish that which they have left off. And the one who leaves the zakat is not a disbeliever, but the one who belies or denies the obligation of zakat, he's a disbeliever. He's a disbeliever. So there's a difference between the two. The one who leaves it out of stinginess, he's not a disbeliever. But the one who, and while believing in the obligation, as for the one who denied the obligation, then he's a disbeliever. He mentioned, hafidhahullah, that amongst those whom Abu Bakr he fought, radiallahu anhu, they were both. Some of them, they denied the obligation of zakat, and others, they were just stingy, and they withheld out of greed. And they withheld out of greed. So the Muslim world, he has the right. He has the right to fight against those who revolt against the authority and who go outside of the legislation and the likes like this, from the bughad, yani the transgressors, and likewise the khawarij, those who revolt against him, they'll be fine. He will fight them, even if they're Muslims. Even if they're Muslims, if they transgress the limits and they go outside of the limits, then this affair here is returning back to the Muslim ruler. And he will look into the best interest of the situation, and if he sees to fight them, he will fight them and he will put pressure on them and the likes until the lands are safe and the limits are established.
قال وكما قاتل علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه ومن معه من الصحابة الخوارج الذين قال فيهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يحقر أحدكم صلاته مع صلاتهم وصيامه مع صيامهم وقراءته مع قراءتهم يقرؤون القرآن لا يجاوز حناجرهم يمرقون من الإسلام كما يمرق السهم من الرمية أينما لقيتموهم فاقتلوهم فإن في قتلهم أجرا عند الله لمن قتلهم يوم القيامة. وهذا يدلنا على أن ولي الأمر قد يقاتل من يظهر الإسلام أيضا، بل ويكون عابدا في الإسلام وشديد العبادة إذا انحرفوا عن الدين ولم يعملوا بما أمروا به. نعم.
And then Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned, rahimahullah, and also as Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, and those with him from the companions, fought the Khawarij, those whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about them, one of you will belittle his prayer to their prayer, his fasting to their fasting, and his recitation to their recitation. They recite the Qur'an, and it does not go beyond their throats. They go out of Islam just as the arrow goes out of the game. Wherever you find them, then kill them, because indeed for killing them is a reward with Allah on the day of resurrection, on the day of resurrection. So the Shaykh mentioned here, hafidhahullah, that this is an evidence, an indication that the Muslim ruler, even maybe sometimes he will fight the Muslims who will outwardly display Islam. And he may be someone who is displaying Islam outwardly, or he's a person that has seen from him worship and great efforts in the deen, but because of his deviation and the likes like this, he will be fought against.
والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكر لنا هذه الأوصاف حتى لا نغتر بكثرة عبادتهم.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentioned all these different descriptions of them, so in order for us to not be deceived by their abundant worship.
قال وهؤلاء الخوارج الحرورية هم أول من ابتدع في الدين وخرج عن السنة والجماعة حتى إن أولهم خرج عن سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في حياته وأنكر على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قسمة المال وأنزل الله فيه وفي أمثاله يوم تبيض وجوه وتسود وجوه قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما وغيره تبيض وجوه أهل السنة وتسود وجوه أهل البدعة والفرقة. وهذا أيضا أمر مهم، وهو أن أهمية معرفة تفسير السلف للآيات، وأن السلف كانوا يبينون خطر الخوارج ويذكرون أن هذه الآيات يعني فيهم، ولابد من الرجوع إلى تفسير السلف في تفسير الآيات، تفسير السلف. وهذا يدل أيضا على أن خطر الخوارج، لأنهم أول من ابتدع في الدين وأول من خرج على المسلمين، ولذلك كانت بدعتهم أعظم بدعة حذر منها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وقوله أنه أول من خرج على سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال اعدل يا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وقال أنكر على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قسمة المال، سبب ذلك أنه ظن أن العدل هو المساواة، وهذا فهم خاطئ، لأن العدل ليس المساواة. ولذلك رد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عليه بذكر ما هو العدل حقيقة، وإني لا أعطي الرجل وغيره أحب إلي منه إلا أني أخشى أن يكبه الله في النار. فإذا لا يلزم ولي الأمر يجوز أن يعطي هذا ويمنع هذا ويكثر يعني ويعطي هذا أكثر من هذا ويعطي هذا أقل من هذا، فهذا من خصائص ولي الأمر. نعم. والخوارج دائما كلامهم عن قسمة المال وقسمة الأموال والأرض إلى غير ذلك. نعم. وقد أتوا من الفهم السقيم، الفهم الباطل، وهذا من الفهم الباطل، أنه اتهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه لا يعدل لأنه ما ساوى بين الناس. واليوم هذه الفتنة هي الموجودة التي يعني دائما تذكر، بأنهم يختصون، أنهم يعطون من يريدون، أنهم هذه الفتنة هي يعني في حد ذاتها هي نفسها التي يعني اعدل، وأن العدل ما يروه هم من المساواة بين الناس، وهذا باطل. نعم.
Then he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, these Khawarij al-Haruriyya are the first to innovate in the religion and rise up against the Sunnah and the Jama'ah. Indeed, even the first of them went against the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his lifetime, and he disapproved of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's division of the wealth. Allah revealed about them and the likes of them on the day, meaning on the day of resurrection, when some faces will become white and some faces will become black. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma and others, they said, in interpretation of this noble verse, the faces of the people of the Sunnah will become white, while the faces of the people of innovation and division become black. So the Shaykh mentioned here, hafidhullah, that this also is an important affair, an important point to benefit from. And that is the importance of learning and studying the interpretation of the Salaf to the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal. The interpretation of the Salaf for the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal. So here they clarified, the Salaf, the pious predecessors, they clarified the dangers of the Khawarij, and that these verses, they revealed about them. So in order to have a good understanding of the Book of Allah, a person, he must refer back to the interpretation of the verses of the Qur'an that are given by the Salaf. And also we see here that the Khawarij, they're the first innovators, and their first innovation. Innovated was their revolution, going against the Sahaba. And this is the greatest innovation. For this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned from it in a major manner. The one who was revolting against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his lifetime, telling the Prophet to be just, and he claiming him for being unjust and dividing the wealth amongst the people. And this is because him and the likes of him, they think that justice is by making things equal. Justice is by making everyone equal. And that's not the reality of justice. And this is a bad understanding. So giving everyone an exact equal share, this is not true justice. Rather, sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will give somebody a portion of the wealth and not give another person, while the other one is more beloved to him. And he would do this out of fear of the iman of the other one, and trusting and the other one he knows is a strong believer. So he'll give him less and give the one who was weaker in his faith more wealth in order to strengthen his faith and draw him near. And the likes like this. So this is not giving everyone an equal portion. It's not actual justice. Justice is putting everything in its proper place. So the Prophet ﷺ did this. And they misunderstood this affair. And this is from their bad understanding. And likewise, the Khawaris, they have the same bad understanding. So the issue of distributing the wealth and the charity, so on and so forth, this is in the hands of the Muslim ruler, the one of authority. So he will look to the best interest in general. Who should get more, who should get less? Who should get more, who should get less? And all the way until today, the same understanding here it continues with the Khawarij of our day. And you always find the Khawarij here in the beginning, all the way until this day, speaking about knowledge, speaking about wealth. He didn't divide the wealth. He didn't give the wealth. Or he's given these people this, and he didn't give these people this. And this is that they're looking to the worldly life, and this is what they excuse. This is what they accuse the authorities with, and the likes like this. So this fitna, it continues till today, and it's from the exact same aspect of the first Khawarij who began in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Be just. Be just.
الإمام الحسن البصري رحمه الله تعالى لما سئل عن الخوارج أجاب جواب عجيب قال أهل دنيا.
الإمام الحسن البصري رحمه الله he was asked about the خوارج and he responded with an amazing answer. He said that oh, these are the people of the dunya.
قالوا يا إمام كيف أهل دنيا.
He said oh Imam how are they people of the dunya.
وهم يكثرون من الصلاة والصيام والعبادة حتى تتقرح جباههم.
And these people are praying so much and they're fasting so much and giving, doing all of these worship, this acts of worship until their foreheads are rough. And
قال هل منعهم ولي الأمر أن يصلوا؟ قالوا لا.
He said to him, did the Muslim ruler forbid them from praying?
قال هل منعهم أن يحجوا؟ قالوا لا.
He said no. He said did the Muslim ruler forbid them from making Hajj? He said no.
قال هل منعهم أن يصوموا؟ قالوا لا.
He said did he forbid them from fasting? He said no.
قال منعهم ما في يده فخرجوا عليه.
And rather he said he forbade them from what is in his hands, so they revolted against him.
وهذه الحقيقة.
And this is the reality.
وانتبهوا أن ذي الخويصرة.
Pay attention to ذي الخويصرة.
لما قال اعدل.
When he said be just.
هو يظن أنه آمر بالمعروف ونهى عن المنكر.
He thinks he's ordering the good and forbidding the evil.
اليوم الخوارج.
Today the خوارج.
هكذا.
The same way.
يعني يخرجون ويتكلمون ويظنون أنهم يأمرون وينهون.
They revolt and they start talking and the likes like this rising up and they think that they're forbidding the evil.
ولكن في الحقيقة هم يأمرون بالمنكر.
But in reality they're ordering with evil.
ويفعلون المنكر.
And they're doing evil.
ويظنون أنهم يحسنون صنعا.
And they think they're doing a good job.
ولذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال عنهم يحسنون القيل ويسيئون الفعل.
And for this reason, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said about them that they do real good in speech and eloquence and the likes, but they're not good in action.
يعني الناس إذا سمعوا كلامهم يقول الله أكبر هذا يريدون الخير يريدون العدل يريدون وهو كلام باطل.
Whenever the people they hear outwardly their statements is oh mashallah these people they want good or these people are establishing the deen but in reality is falsehood.
قال فكل من خرج عن كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من سائر أو من سوائر الطوائف فقد وجب على المسلمين أن يدعوه إلى كتاب الله وسنة رسوله بالكلام فإن أجاب وإلا عاقبوه بالجلد تارة وبالقتل أخرى على قدر ذنبه وسواء كان منتسبا إلى الدين من العلماء والمشايخ أو من رؤساء الدنيا من الأمراء والوزراء فإن من هؤلاء فيهم الأبرار والفجار. هنا شيخ الإسلام تيمي رحمه الله تعالى يبين أن هؤلاء أي الذين يعني يتركون الأعمال ولا يقيمون دين الله عز وجل ما يجوز لنا أن نسكت عنهم ولذلك السلف كانوا يعني يغلظون على البدعة ويردون عليهم وربما يعني والمقصود هنا يعني ولاة الأمر يأخذون بأيديهم وربما ضربوهم وربما قتلوهم إذا كان يستحقون ذلك، ورأى ولي الأمر المصلحة. ولذلك تجد في كلام السلف إهانة أهل البدع وإهانة المخالفين لدين الله عز وجل. ولا يجوز أن يقال نعمل فيما اتفقنا عليه ويعذر بعضنا بعضا. ولذلك قال يجب على المسلمين أن يدعوه، هذا فيه رد على من يقول أننا نعمل فيما اتفقنا عليه ويعذر بعضنا بعضا. لا، لأن هذا هو طريق النفاق، وهذا هو تمكين المنافقين من الدين. فإذا يجب أن نتناصح فيما بيننا، وأن نبين الخطأ، وأن يرجع المخطئ إلى الصواب. قال يدعوه إلى كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإن أجابوا إلا عاقبوه، أي ولاة الأمر. ومن كان له ولاية بالجلد تارة كما يعني جاء عن السلف، وبالقتل أخرى يعني كما فعل مع الجعد بن درهم، قال وبالقتل أخرى على قدر ذنبه، وسواء كان منتسبا الدين من العلماء والمشايخ، يعني ولو كان عنده يعني الناس يظنون بأنه من أهل العلم وكذا، ولكن عنده انحراف، فإنه لا يسكت عنه. لا محابة في الدين، لا محابة في الدين. أو من رؤساء الدنيا من الأمراء والوزراء، أيضا ولي الأمر يتفقد الأمراء والوزراء إذا خالفوا، فإنه يعاقبهم ويرجعهم إلى الصواب، لأن هذه هي الطريقة التي يحافظ على الإسلام وأهله. ليس يسكت عن هذا ويسكت عن هذا ويسكت عن هذا حتى يضيع الدين، ولكن بالطريقة المثلى يتم يعني القيام على هؤلاء. فإذا كانت هناك عقوبة فإنها لولي الأمر، لأن هو الذي يكون له السلطة باليد. وأنت إن كان لك سلطة على من ولاك الله عز وجل فإنك يعني نعم يجوز لك ذلك، مثل الأب في أبنائه وفي أهله. نعم.
Here Shaykh al-Islam, he says, rahimahullah, therefore anyone who goes away from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the different groups, it becomes incumbent upon the Muslims to call him to the Book of Allah and to the Sunnah of his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with speech, meaning verbally. If he responds, this is good, and if not, then he will be reprimanded. Then they will reprimand him by lashes sometimes and by execution other times to the severity, according to the severity of his sin. This is regardless of whether he's ascribing to the religion from the scholars or the mashaykh, or from the heads of the worldly life, from the rulers and the ministers, the government officials. For indeed amongst them there are righteous ones and there are corrupted ones. There are righteous ones and there are corrupted ones. So the Shaykh mentioned, Hafidhullah, that this is a clarification here. Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, he brings clarification here, that those who leave off aspects of the religion and they deviate away from the deen, it's not allowed to be quiet. It's not allowed to be silent. Rather, it's incumbent to reprimand them. It's incumbent to reprimand them, to advise them, correct them, so on and so forth. So the Salaf, they used to be very harsh, and they would refute. They would refute and speak ill about the people of innovation. But what is intended here, in general, what is intended here specifically, is the Muslim ruler. So the Muslim ruler, he is the one who has this authority. And if he looks to the best interest of the situation, and he will use whatever he feels is needed, yani with physical force, to reprimand the likes of these people, to put them in check, and to preserve the safety or security of the land, so on and so forth. So this is also a refutation of a false principle that some of them mentioned, that we work together upon that which we agree upon, and we'll sign it about which we differ in. And we work together in what we agree upon, and we'll be silent in that which we differ in. This is not proper. This is a bad understanding. This is incorrect. This is incorrect. So it's incumbent to rather to whenever somebody is wrong or they made a mistake or they go away from the religion, that they'll be advised, that they'll be checked, they'll be admonished, and the likes like this, and each one accordingly. But as for the forcing with the hand or with the authority, this is in the hands of the Muslim ruler, except in the case, for example, maybe you or a person, a father, he has others under his care, then if it's in his best interest to stop with the hand or with force, then this is allowed for him likewise. But in general, establishing these legal limits and rulings and punishing, reprimanding the people of deviation or misguidance and sin, so on and so forth, this is in the hands of of the Muslim ruler. So here the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says, this is regardless of whether he is ascribing to the religion from the scholars or the mashaykh, and he's meaning that even if he's a person of knowledge, even if he's a person of knowledge, people outwardly think that, oh, he's a scholar or he's a great shaykh, so on and so forth, but he's deviant. There's no favoritism in the religion. We're not silent about him or not reprimand him because people like him or because he's ascribing to knowledge. Rather, even if he's ascribing to knowledge, but he's deviant, he will be reprimanded. He will be taken by the hand. Likewise, the people from the heads of the worldly life, meaning the government officials. The government officials, likewise, is incumbent for the Muslim ruler to look after them and to check them and to make sure that they are doing their job properly and that they're not oppressing or doing any injustice. So there will be observation, looking at the people of knowledge and likewise looking at the government officials to make sure that the rights of Islam and its people are preserved and maintained. And this is the proper way to establish this affair. So the Muslim ruler, he will take the proper means and the best way to preserve the rights of al-Islam and the rights of the people of al-Islam. And this is from his right specifically, the Muslim ruler.
ثم قال فإن من هؤلاء فيهم الأبرار والفجار فأبرارهم هم أئمة الدين وهداة المسلمين وصالح المجاهدين أهل الإيمان والقرآن والحامل الناصر للإيمان والقرآن. لكن كيف نميز؟ نميز بأننا نأمر الجميع وأن لا يعني يحاب أحد بالدين ومن كان صادقا فإنه يعود ويصلح ومن كان كاذبا فإنه يعرف. وشيخ الإسلام تيمي رحمه الله تعالى يعني يبين هذا الأمر لأن هناك من وجد من يدعي الولاية كما سيأتي وهو من أفسق الناس وأفجر الناس وأبعد الناس عن دين الله عز وجل، وهذا كله ليس من دين الله في شيء، بل هؤلاء وإن تسموا بأنهم علماء أو مشايخ أو أهل طريق أو كذا فإنهم مفسدون في الأرض. قال فأبرارهم هم أئمة الدين وهداة المسلمين وصالح المجاهدين أهل الإيمان والقرآن والحامل الناصر للإيمان والقرآن، هم صفوة الله من عباده وخيرته من خلقه وموضع نظر الله إلى الأرض وورثة الأنبياء وخلف الرسل. قال الله تعالى ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون لهم البشرى في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة لا تبديل لكلمات الله ذلك هو الفوز العظيم. قال والبشرى قد فسرها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالرؤية الصالحة يراها المؤمن أو ترى له وبالثناء الحسن من المؤمنين ومر على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بجنازة فأثنوا عليها خيرا يعني لما رأوا من أعماله فقال وجبت ومر عليه بجنازة فأثنوا عليها شرا فقال وجبت فقالوا يا رسول الله وما قولك وجبت قال هذه الجنازة أثنيتم عليها خيرا فقد وجبت لها الجنة وهذه الجنازة أثنيتم عليها شرا فقد وجبت لها النار أنتم شهداء الله في الأرض. وقيل أن هذا خاص بتلكم الجنازة يعني التي كانت عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهذا هو الصحيح لأن الثناء في الغالب أن يصيب وربما خاب يعني الثناء فيثنى على شخص وهو على غير ما يعني ما يثنى عليه. وقد جاء في حديث كدتم أن تعرفوا بعث الجنة من بعث النار بثنائكم عليهم، فإذا هو للغالب وليس لا يجوز أن يشهد لأحد بالجنة، لكن نرجو له الجنة لثناء الناس عليه، الناس لا يذكرون الله بخير، هذه من العلامات التي يقال تكون علامات طيبة. ولكن الصحابة رضي الله عنهم لما أثنوا على شخص خيرا وكان يقاتل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال هو في النار، فإذا المسألة ليست القطع وإنما يرجى له. قال فمن شهد له عموم المؤمنين بالخير كان من أهل الخير ومن شهد له بالشر كان من أهل الشر. وهؤلاء الفجار المنتسبون إلى علم أو دين أو إمرة أو رئاسة كالذين قال الله تعالى فيهم إن كثيرا من الأحبار والرهبان ليأكلون أموال الناس بالباطل ويصدون عن سبيل الله، إلى أن قال تعالى: والذين يكنزون الذهب والفضة ولا ينفقونها في سبيل الله فبشرهم بعذاب أليم. وقد قال الله تعالى في كتابه: اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المغضوب عليهم اليهود والضالين هم النصارى. قال الترمذي: هذا حديث حسن صحيح. قال العلماء: فمن أوتي علما فلم يعمل به كان فيه شبه من اليهود الذين عرفوا الحق ولم يتبعوه. العبرة أن تعرف الحق لتتبعه، لأن العمل ثمرة العلم. ومن كان يقول السلف كما ذكر الخطيب البغدادي في اقتضاء العلم العمل، أنهم لا يقولون للعالم عالما إلا إذا عمل بعلمه. نعم. قال: ومن عبد الله بلا علم كان فيه شبه من النصارى الذين ابتدعوا الرهبانية وعبدوه بغير شريعة. وأما المؤمنون حقا فهم المتمسكون بالشريعة والمنهاج المحمدي، كما قال تعالى: فاحكم بينهم بما أنزل الله ولا تتبع أهواءهم عما جاءك من الحق لكل جعلنا منكم شرعة ومنهاجا. وقال تعالى: ثم جعلناك على شريعة من الأمر فاتبعها. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مأمور أن يتبع الحق ويتبع ما أنزل الله عز وجل عليه، ولا تتبع أهواء الذين لا يعلمون. وهذا يدل أن الذي ما يتبع الحق لا بد أن يكون متبع الهوى، ما في شيء آخر. من لم يتبع الحق اتبع الهوى، من لم يقل الحق فإنه سيقول الباطل، وهكذا. نعم. نعم تفضل. كلام واضح.
So Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, for indeed among them are the righteous ones and the corrupt ones. And this is a reference to the people of the religion and also the government officials or the people of the worldly life. So it says their righteous ones are imams in the religion, and the righteous ones from them. They're imams in the religion, the guiding Muslims, and those who call and guide the Muslims with knowledge and with light. And the righteous fighters, and the true fighters in the path of Allah, they are the people of sincere faith and Quran, and they are the best believers, the best of Allah, the best of Allah's believers, and the best of His slaves, and the best of His creation. And they are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, and they are the inheritors of the prophets, and those who have come after the messengers alayhim as-salatu wassalam. And so the Shaykh, he mentioned here that how do we distinguish between them? Some of them are people of knowledge, some of them are people of dunya, but some of them are wicked, some of them are righteous. So how do we distinguish? We don't make any favoritism here. So if one of them made an error or were wrong or the likes like this, they will be corrected, they will be advised. So the one who's truthful, whenever he's advised, he'll go back to the truth and he'll rectify his affair. And the one who was insincere or the one who was deviant, whenever he's advised, he will become exposed and he'll be known. So likewise it will come that Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah ta'ala, he is mentioning the issue of those who claim to have the wilayah, and he claimed that they're the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that they're the most wicked of the people. And so we have to be careful with some people. Maybe they're scholars, maybe they're imams in their way, the imams of the Sufi and the different turuq and the ways and the likes like this. So this is all falsehood, claiming to be from the best, and their actions are contrary. So Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High. He says, the meaning of which is, no doubt, verily the awliya of Allah, they are the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jal. They have no fear shall come upon them, nor shall they grieve. And they are those who believe in Allah's oneness, and they used to fear Allah much, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, the awliya of Allah and the true believers of Allah, they have no fear on them, and nor do they have any grief. And they are those who believed, and they work righteous deeds, and they will have the glad tidings in this life and in the hereafter. And there is no change or exchange for the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is the supreme success. This is the supreme success. So Shaykh al-Islam, he mentions here that the bushra mentioned in this verse about for those righteous and good, true, sincere believers, the glad tidings have been interpreted by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a good dream a believer sees, or one sees about him, and as a good mention, any of the praises from the believers. And then Sheikh al-Islam, he mentioned an issue of a narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, in a funeral procession passed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the people mentioned good praise about the deceased. And the Prophet said, it is incumbent. And he meaning that it is incumbent. Meaning they praised the people, they praised that funeral procession based upon what they knew from his deeds. Another funeral procession passed by, and the people mentioned bad things about the deceased. And he said, it is incumbent. So they said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what does your statement, it is incumbent, mean? He said, this funeral procession that you mentioned good praises about, I said, paradise is incumbent for him. And this funeral procession you mentioned bad things about, I said, the hellfire is incumbent for him. You are the witnesses of Allah on the earth. Some of the people of knowledge, he mentioned that they say that, some of the people of knowledge, they say that this is specific to this narration. This is specific to this narration. The Shaykh, he mentioned that's what is correct, because there are other narrations likewise clarifying that this is, and maybe in general or the majority of the time, whenever people think good about someone, then this is good. But there are cases when maybe someone will be praised by the people, but in reality he's foul, or in reality he's misguided. And it also has come in the narrations that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you are almost going to know the people of paradise from the people of the hellfire by the way that you praise them. So therefore, praising the people and having good mention for them or bad mention for them, whenever this is done by the general Muslims, this is something that's normally understood or considered, but not absolutely. So no one will ever say, for example, so-and-so, he's a shaheed. So-and-so, he's a shaheed. And there's another example in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where a man, he was striving and fighting hard in the path of Allah, until all the companions, all of them, they're praising him for his bravery and the likes like this. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he's in the fire. So the praises of the people, this is in general here, not in an absolute sense or in every single circumstance. Shaykh al-Islam, he says, therefore, the ones whom the Muslims in general say good about are from the people of goodness, and the ones whom evil is witnessed against them are from the people of evil. And those corrupt people who ascribe to knowledge or religion or authority and leadership are like those whom Allah the Most High said about them, the meaning of which is, verily, there are many of the Jewish rabbis and the Christian monks who devour the wealth of mankind in falsehood and hinder them from the way of Allah. Until the statement, and those who hoard up the gold and the silver, and they do not spend it in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, announce to them a painful torment. And likewise, Allah the Most High, he mentioned in his book, the meaning of which is, guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom you have bestowed your grace upon, not the path of those who earned your anger, nor the path of those who went astray. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those who earned your anger are Jews, and those who went astray are the Christians. Shaykh al-Islam, he says, rahimahullah, the scholar said that whoever was given knowledge yet did not apply it, then he has a resemblance to the Jews. And the Shaykh, he mentioned, because what is considered from the knowledge, in the knowledge, the whole purpose of it is to learn the truth, to follow it. Knowledge, you learn it and you seek it in order to follow it. And the fruit of knowledge is application. And Khatib al-Baghdadi, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that it's not said about a scholar that he's a scholar until he applies the knowledge that he has. And then Shaykh al-Islam, he says, and whoever worships Allah without knowledge, and he has a resemblance to the Christians, those who innovated monasticism and worshipped Allah without legislation. As for the true believers, then they are those holding fast to the legislation and the Muhammadan methodology, and in the methodology of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the Most High said, the meaning of which is, so judge among them by what Allah has revealed, and follow not their vain desires, diverging away from the truth that has come to you. To each among you we have prescribed the law and the clear way. And likewise, the Most High, he says, the meaning of which is, and then we have put you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on a plain way, and we have placed you upon a clear path, the Sharia, from our command. So therefore you must follow it, and do not follow the desires of those who do not know. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ordered to follow. He's ordered to follow. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ordered to follow. So those who do not follow the truth, then they're only following their desires. So he's ordered to follow the truth, the legislation that was revealed, and forbidden from following the desires. So a person is either going to be following the truth, or is going to be following desires. Likewise, is he either going to say the truth, or is he going to say falsehood? So this is the issue here. Then Shaykh al-Islam, he says, amongst the greatest of those who have gone astray are those who associate themselves with an imam or a shaykh.
هنا يعني شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله تعالى يريد أن يبين أن تزكية النفوس تكون بالأعمال، ولا يعرف الصالح من الطالح إلا بالأعمال الصالحة والاستجابة لله ولرسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ليس بكلام الناس وثناء الناس وهو على خلاف ما يثنون، أو مثلا من ابتلي اليوم بالتزكيات تزكيات وإذا رأيته خلاف هذه التزكية. الشيخ بن باز رحمه الله تعالى لما قيل له يعني شخص قال له أريد تزكية، قال يزكي الإنسان عمله، يزكي الإنسان عمله، فلا يفرح الإنسان بما يقول الناس وهو ليس بمتبع، أو مثلا عنده كم أتباع له يسمعون، أو كم أتباع له في القنوات، ويعني وكم ينتشر كلامه، هذا كله لا يدل على حق وباطل. الأصل أن الإنسان ينظر إلى عمله، ينظر إلى استجابته، ولذلك كان السلف يقولون أسرع الناس على الصراط أسرعهم استجابة لله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. لابد من الاستجابة، ولابد من العمل، ولابد من تزكية النفوس بالأعمال الصالحة، هذا لا يزكيك، وهذا الذي يعني يكون المرء به مرضي عند الله عز وجل، لا كما انحرف الصوفية وغيرهم حتى يعني أدخلوا يعني إذا شهد له ولو لم يعمل شيئا فإنه يثنون عليه ويبجلونه، مثل الآن بعضهم عنده شهادة وما عنده علم، عنده شهادة أنه تخرج وعنده علم، لكن العلم هذا باطل، علم يعني مخالف لهدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لذلك ما يعني ما يستفاد من هذا العلم، هذا وبال على صاحبه. ما نغتر بالشهادات ونغتر بالدكتورات أو نغتر بالألقاب، الألقاب إذا ما كانت موافقة لما هو عليه ومن الأعمال ومن العلم والعمل، فإنها في الحقيقة هي كما قيل من مدحك بما ليس فيه فقد ذمك، فهي ذم لأصحابها، هي ذم لأصحابها. نسأل الله السلامة والعافية، ونقف عند هذا القدر، ونسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه.
The Sheikh, you mentioned Hafidhu Halladi here, Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he's clarifying that the means to purify the souls is by action, is by application, and sincere faith and application. So the way to distinguish between the righteous and the wicked is by looking how well they respond to the call of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's not just by the praise of the people. It's not by the praise of the people. The praise of the people will not benefit a person whenever his actions are contrary. Whenever his actions are contrary. And similar like this as well, people who get recommendations, tazkiyat, for example, from a university or from a scholar, so on and so forth. He mentioned that Shaykh ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he was asked, somebody asked him to give him a tazkiyah. So Shaykh ibn Baz, he told him, he said, your deeds will give you a tazkiyah. It's your deeds that give you a tazkiyah. And the true tazkiyah is from you and your actions that you do, not from what people say about you. So we should not be happy and rejoicing over the praise of the people, yani whenever his actions are contrary. And when the people are praising him, and maybe he has lots of followers, and maybe his statements are spreading on the social media, so on and so forth, and he's well known and popular. But at the same time, he's contrary to the religion. He's in opposition to the Sunnah and the likes like this. We shouldn't be deceived by the likes of these people. So we have to distinguish between the truth and falsehood and the likes like this. This is what will determine. So we look to a person's actions. We look to a person's actions, not simply his claims or how many people praise him or follow him. We look to how well he ascribes, how well he follows the religion, how well he responds to the call of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Salaf, they used to say, the fastest one, the swiftest and fastest one crossing the Sirat in the hereafter is the one who was swiftest and most eager to respond to the call of Allah and His Messenger and this life. So the true tazkiyah and the purification of the soul, the true means to have recommendation and for people to truly respect and praise a person is going to be based upon sincere faith and righteous deeds. sincere faith and righteous deeds. Not like what some of the Sufia and the likes of others who imitate them or resemble them, and they're deviant, they're misguided in a great way. And then one of them will praise him, and maybe he'll have this degree, or he'll say he's Dr. So-and-so or Professor So-and-so, or they'll gather different praises and recommendations from this one or that one, or he does that and the likes like this. But in reality, he's contrary to the fundamentals of the religion, or he has great innovation or deviation in the likes like this. So we should be careful from these nicknames people give. You know, the great scholar, or this nickname and that nickname, so on and so forth, Sheikh, Alama, so on and so forth, all these great titles, or he's praised from this one, he's praised from that one, whenever their actions are contrary. So the origin is that when he looks to the people's actions, and as they say, yani, that the one who praises you for something you don't have, in reality he's blaming you. So again, it's important, yani, to look into the deeds, and look to the responding, yani, to a person's application of the religion, not just simple claims and the likes like this. And then he closed with that. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.